Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And today's topic is the S-Bahn murders. A story about a serial killer that was loose in Berlin during the Second World War. We're going to talk about all of his dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me remind you that we are a true crime comedy podcast and we use adult language. So if that offends you, then...
Fuck yourself. That's what you can do. You can just don't let the door hit you in the ass on the podcast way.
Well, or they could choose a different podcast. You know, there's fine podcasts out there, like They Walk Among Us, Canadian True Crime, Already Gone. They don't use foul language.
You know, and I'm going to tell you something, Timmy. Did you see that New Yorker magazine article where Ben was in it?
Yeah, that was very impressive.
Among Us, Canadian True Crime. I believe Nina was in it.
Yeah, we wasn't mentioned in that.
We weren't mentioned, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm getting a little bit tired of being... Here's the thing. People listen to us. They're ashamed to say it.
That might be Brandy.
Yeah.
They might be ashamed.
You know what we are? We're like the person that you pick up in a bar, be they male or female or whatever.
We're the naughty girlfriend, Brandy.
No, we're the two drunk 2 o'clock in the morning podcast, Timmy.
Oh, okay.
That's what we're the side bitch podcast, Timmy. That's what we are.
Maybe that's what should be our new logo or our new theme, Brandy. The side bitch podcast.
Yeah, because people are like, "Oh, what do you think's good podcast? What do you think of this?"
And
people
they just come around when they're drinking and
yeah,
horny.
People will start to say like, "Hit." Oh, no, I don't listen to History Dweebs. I heard about that. Ooh, no, I wouldn't touch that one.
Oh, I like NPR. And
yeah, I like NPR. I like to listen to Ben. Who doesn't?
Yes.
You know, Ben's a respectable guy. But, you know, when people want something dirty, Tim, they come to us.
Yeah.
They come to us, but they won't admit it.
So what do you think about that? Us being the side piece, Brandy.
We're not the ones people take home to their families.
Yeah.
That's a good reason for that.
They listen to us on Saturday night, and they go to church on Sunday.
I see.
Pretending it never happened to me.
Well,
after a silk cord shower.
Yeah. I feel kind of dirty now.
You are kind of dirty, Timmy.
Let me introduce our panel. I am joined by the very lovely and talented, the woman who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. She rules her kingdom with love and mercy, Colonel.
Well,
the very lovely Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy?
Well, that was nice, Brandy time.
She didn't even say how she was doing.
I know.
How are you, Brandy?
Timmy, I'm not feeling well today.
Boy, you just
so I'm ready.
You just got here. She's been crabby, Colonel.
I know you've been kind of crabby.
Dude, I have been hit with more bullshit since I got here at work. Fuck. I've been just hit with bullshit. But I don't feel well, and I feel like that I could use that as an excuse to just look at people and go, you know, fuck you. Fuck you and your dumb bullshit, Susan. Get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Because, you know, she would never do that if she was feeling well, Colonel.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I would have a little...
I was going to say, on your best day, I've seen you do that, Doug.
I know, but here's the thing. Like, when I'm having to deal with other vendors and things that people are not normally around me, I try not to... You know, when we have company in the building, I try not to act like
that.
Try to
put on your best
But
face.
I just had a 45-minute conversation about parking. It doesn't require 45 minutes. I don't know what's unclear about park on the street or park at the church. Well, where's the church? It's right next door.
The place with the big cross in front of it, motherfucker. Well, where do you think it is?
Is that going north? I don't fucking know. It's right fucking next door. If you fucking go to the next building and make a fucking right.
Do I look like
right,
goddamn Navy SEAL Team 6, motherfucker? I can't look up
Magellan?
At the sky.
I don't fucking know. Go to the fucking next building, make a right. There's a parking lot. Well, how many parking spaces? Well, fucking 20. I don't fucking know.
Here's your question or your answer. If you can't find a goddamn parking spot, you're probably not going to get hired for the job that you're coming here to apply for.
And my whole thing was, you know what? If your staff is so fucking stupid that they can't find a fucking place to park, then fucking bus them in here. Get them a scooter. Get them a bike. Get them something. Then they
helmets,
don't have to worry about
get
parking.
Get them some goddamn helmets.
Get some goddamn helmets.
I almost got ran over by a scooter yesterday.
Which is goddamn hilarious. And I told Timmy, I said, I would laugh my ass off. I would be so sad, but I would be laughing sadly.
Well, you know, scooter jacking is becoming a thing now.
I'm telling you, it was a close call.
You would make the news.
You want to make the news for that.
You've been hit by every other mode of public transportation, Timmy.
Let me introduce Brandy. That was enough Brandy time, don't you think, Kerm?
It was.
Let me introduce Brandy, a man who is known as the moral compass of our podcast.
By no one.
A man who is—it's been called an oasis in the desert of despair.
Nope.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good,
He's
Timmy.
Not good, Timmy. And you know what? I'm gonna just say something else too. I just got a request to slap the shit out of you to be paid. Somebody's gonna pay me to slap the shit out of you the next time you start singing the Bee Gees. I'm like, I'd do that shit for free. All you had to do is ask.
Kind of hateful listener would do? It's all
no.
It was. That's for you, motherfucker, who didn't like it.
It was all I have.
See, everybody likes my Bee Gees.
I hear a lot of positive things. About
a lot of positive things.
I hear nothing positive about it.
You know, there's
hotter than Satan's asshole in this room.
There's been a demand for us to do a little Gladys Knight and the Pips, Colonel.
No, I don't.
Ready, Timmy?
No.
One, two, three. Woo, woo. Ugh. You know why, brother?
We're going to do
you
that.
Know why,
at,
devil?
We're going to do that at DweebCon. You're going to be Gladys Knight, and Colonel and I are working on our dance moves to be the Pips.
Oh, perfect. I got some spandex pants coming through eBay.
Spandex is never the answer.
They're glittery, gold.
I got a scarf.
Got some platform shoes.
Wait a minute. We're not doing like in the Navy or the YMCA. We're doing the Pips do not
like
dress
people.
Like that.
The Pips had some badass suits. It was all polyester.
And none of it. Well, but none of it was spandex.
No, their pants was
Pips
spandex.
Be styling. No.
The Pips were styling, but they had they were polyester pants. They weren't spandex.
You know the thing, Pippin ain't easy.
No, it's not easy. Brandy acts like it is.
Other than that, I'm doing wonderful,
you're
Timmy.
You going on vacation next week, we understand?
I'm going on vacation sometime. I'm not really sure when, but they'll just tell me when to get in the car.
No, it's next week. It's not?
I don't think it's next week.
Okay.
I think it's
I'm pretty sure
next
it is.
Couple,
I'm pretty sure it is.
I think it is,
no.
Too.
I don't know.
He's going to show up to work. His family will be gone.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I woke up and they were gone.
Should I feed Rudy? No, we got him.
Jackass.
We do want to say happy birthday to the lovely Renee. We missed, we had some technical difficulties last week, so we didn't get a podcast out. So happy birthday, Renee, and a belated happy birthday to Karen Barnes.
And the twins. The twins had a
twins.
Birthday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and yesterday was my brother Jason's birthday.
Okay. So does he listen?
No.
Okay. Well,
but happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday, Jason.
Well, I called Tanner. You know, Tanner moved to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And I said, Tanner, you got to get out of California because you just moved there, last week?
And it's burning down.
And I said, it's just burning down around you. Just get back to Chicago. And he said, I can't, Dad. Everybody's dead there.
In Chicago?
Yeah.
Because they had he made a very good point. On the news, it says 70 people have been shot in Chicago this weekend, last weekend. So far, 70 have been shot. Now, this was on Tuesday.
Yeah, the weekend's over.
And I said, and Tanner said, I said to Tanner, the weekend's over. And he said, Dad, in Chicago, Dad, people don't go to the hospital right away for gunshots. It's like a bee sting.
Oh, they got They gotta finish watching their show.
Yeah, sometimes they'll wait till Tuesday to go to it because people get shot so many damn
times. Speaking of Chicago, we're gonna be in Chicago.
We are. We're gonna do a dweeb with our friend, Mr. Ben Fenton.
Yep, from They Walk Among Us. We might get
who people mention.
Charlie from Insight's gonna be there, and
people don't always mention Charlie. I think she's a little on the dirty side too.
Oh, is she?
No. Everybody talks about Charlie.
Yeah,
she's
everyone
wonderful.
Loves Charlie. It's you they don't like, really. But anyway, let's talk about this guy. I want to this Paul.
It's you they don't like, really.
Paul Ogerzaw, I think is how you pronounce his name, Brandy.
Well, go with that.
Okay. The Berlin S-Bahn, Brandy, is a rapid transit railway system in and around Berlin, the capital of Germany. I know you knew that. It has been in operation under this name since December 1930. I bet you didn't know that, though.
I didn't care.
The S-Bahn connects the Berlin U-Bahn, which is the underground rail system, serving Berlin and its suburbs. I just need to trust my script, you know?
Do they have the Berlin Cinnabon?
That would be spectacular.
They smell good.
Yeah. You ever notice, though, you get, and I don't want to.
Oh, it's like those roasted nuts, like on, like the streets in New York. Mm-hmm. They smell great, but when you eat
them.
But
they ain't worth a fuck.
Right.
It's, and
it's
you
the
know,
same way with the Cinnabon.
The last time I got a Cinnabon, I try to watch my carbs, Timmy.
He watches his carbs, Brandy.
I watch my carbs.
Go right
but
in
the
his
last
face.
Time I got a Cinnabon, if I would have ate the cardboard box with icing, it would have been better than the goddamn bun. They smell good. They always disappoint you. You know what they are? Again, they're like the person that it's 2:00 in the morning and you're drunk at the bar.
Yeah. I always disappoint people at 2:00 in the morning.
I usually do too.
Brandy, you could join us if you like.
No, I don't disappoint people at 2 in the morning. I'm asleep.
All right. So today, the Berlin S-Bahn consists of 15 lines serving 166 stations that runs over a total route of 206 miles, Brandy. They served over 395 million passengers in 2017. So now you know a lot about the German rail system.
I feel no smarter for that.
In the early 1940s, S-Bahn passengers lived in terror, Brandy, as a crazed serial killer was abducting, raping, and killing women who used the S-Bahn to travel around Berlin.
That seems
shitty.
Don't
you think crazed and serial killer are redundant?
No, because you could have a perfectly normal serial killer.
Run-of-the-mill serial killer.
Well-adjusted serial killer.
General Mills serial killer.
Yeah. On...
It's like saying angry woman.
It's with a C, right? General
yes.
Mills with a C.
Thank gotcha. You.
On January 30th, 1933, Brandy, German President von Hindenburg, your good friend.
Yeah, clearly.
And Nazi leader Adolf Hitler, the Chancellor of Germany, another one of your good friends. He named Adolf Chancellor of Germany on January 30th, 1933. It probably was a cold day. It was in January.
Say what you want, but he kept the S-Bahn running on time, Timmy.
Brandy's good friends with a lot of the head Nazis.
Yeah. He was, yeah.
On February 20th.
Her grandpappy lives still. He lives down in Argentina.
Yeah, she's probably good friends with this Paul Ogerzaw, too. On February
27, 1933.
The German Parliament... Reichstag. It burned down, Brandy, and arson was to blame on communist extremists.
How the motherfucker was made of concrete. How'd they burn that down?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw it when I was over there. They got
I
this
saw
big,
it. I know they burned it down,
big,
but it was
like,
made of concrete.
I don't know. They got this big globe on it now. It looks really weird.
I think it was all bullshit. I think they built that shit out of styrofoam because they were building it on the cheap, and then all of a sudden they caught it on fire. Because concrete don't burn like that.
Think there's a lot of styrofoam buildings in Germany, Brandy?
I don't believe there are.
On March 24th, 1933, the German Parliament passed the Enabling Act, basically making Hitler dictator of the German Reich. On August 2nd, 1934, President von Hindenburg died, and Hitler assumed the role of Chancellor as well as President. All this is getting to the war. On September 1st, 1931, German...
I wish we would.
German armed forces invaded Poland. Of course, German armed forces... Some of your good friends, Brandy.
What the fuck?
Great Britain And France, Chuck's and I, good friends, mm-hmm. had a mutual defense treaty with Poland. Poland, or Maja was over there. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if she was over there then.
She wasn't that in. But
her family probably was. Well, anyway, the first Second World War started. In order to protect its citizens from bombing, Berlin and other German cities instituted blackouts and air raid drills. Blackout, Brandy?
Well, not the blackout drunk you used to, Devil.
Really, the way you
turn the lights out, yeah.
It's under these the cover of these blackouts that the S-Bahn killer committed his dastardly deeds, Brandy.
Dastardly.
See how I'm weaving in history with all mm-hmm. you? I'm giving your...
We're trying to educate you, girl. Pay attention.
I'm meeting your sadistic needs, but I'm trying to put a little education.
Let's not go crazy.
We're trying to address your tingly parts, because we know that when gruesome stuff happens, people get torn into shreds. That's like, oh, that's your wheelhouse there, Devil. But we're trying to educate you, too.
Hmm. I just want to say, this got cut out a lot. It was in the last show, but it got cut out. I want to bring up Whitney Houston again, Brandy. How can she claim... How can she claim in that song? What's that song? The Greatest Love. How can she
claim? No matter what they take from me.
They can't take away her dignity.
Cannot take my dignity.
Brandy, she was found floating face down in her bathtub. How much dignity does that woman have?
She soiled herself, Timmy.
I think it's, what?
She had poop floating in the top, Timmy. Brandy. When you die, your bowels evacuate.
No. I can't.
I mean, even on the best days, you figure a warm bathtub, she was probably peeing in.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm not saying. It's good for your skin.
But you really should get out of the tub if you have to do anything other than pee, Brandy. That's what we're saying.
No, I'm pretty sure you need to get out if you have to go to the bathroom in any way.
You know, have you ever experienced wallowing in your own filth?
Can't say as I have.
Should try it sometime.
But clearly, I was going to say, clearly you have.
All right.
You have never woke up drunk in a ditch?
Oh, I know. Okay,
I always make it out of the ditch.
Have you ever woke up in your own vomit?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I one time woke up, Timmy. It's a true story. Mm-hmm. Woke up, don't know how it happened. You know those hematomas, the like the goose eggs, they turn purple?
Yeah.
I was married at the time.
A hematoma.
I woke up. I had a hematoma on my left cheekbone. I had blood on my T-shirt, and the entire bed was covered with quarters, Timmy.
Because he wanted to throw dollar bills down and waller in it, but he's poor.
I think he probably he was trying to do his laundry.
I don't know.
And he had a roll of quarters, he broke it over his face.
I remember part of the night that I was playing cards, and then it got a little blurry from there. But to this day, how I got the hematoma under my eye, I do not know, Timmy.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
I got none.
Paul Oguzar.
You know, it was a good night, though.
I feel like you were doing one of those, indecent proposal kind of things, but you just are poor. That's what I feel like. You were just rolling around in quarters.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was just, there were so many quarters on the bed, there had to be like $30 worth. I don't know how I fit them all on my own. And then I came home. When I came home, I just went to bed with the jeans I had on. And so the quarters just spread themselves out throughout the bed.
What are your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Idiot.
That's Paul Oguzar was born.
I just felt lucky when I woke up.
I bet.
Paul Oguzar was born on September 29th, Brandy, 1912, in a little village in East Persia, Germany, which is close to where we're present day, which is present day Poland. So Maja probably knows this area. He was an illegitimate child, Brandy.
Illegitimate child of
Marie Saga, who was a farm worker. Marie was very poor, Brandy. And she was ashamed of Paul because he had been born out of wedlock.
It's his fault.
Well,
she should be ashamed of him.
Maybe she felt shame that she had this kid out of wedlock. I don't know. But anyway, her parents disowned the child and refused to recognize Paul as their grandchild, referring to him only as the bastard child. Hmm. So his grandparents were not very cool.
That's hurtful.
It is. That's not very cool at all. It's not his fault.
Grandma used to call me.
She used to call you that?
Bastard child.
Marie paid little attention to Paul as he was growing up, Brandy, and would often tell people that Paul was her nephew.
Well, clearly.
Paul was relentlessly teased in school for being a bit different, Brandy. He would often go to school without eating breakfast and would rarely bathe.
Hmm.
His hair often was sticking up and his clothes disheveled. His school teachers would often make an example out of him by bringing him in front of the class and using him as an example of poor hygiene.
Hmm.
So this kid's not getting a break at home or at school. He was often beat up by his classmates. On one occasion, several older boys held Paul while numerous other classmates kicked him in the groin area.
Oh, what? Now, see, that's just, there's no reason for that to me.
Mm.
Another, turn you into a serial
another time, they made him take off his clothes and made him go home without wearing any clothes. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Seems a bit extreme.
Sometimes the devil gone home with just carrying his shoes.
I have carried my shoes home.
Mm. And nothing else.
Have you had to sneak in when you were living at home? Have you had to sneak in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You did the walk of shame like
Dude,
Melania
I did the walk
Trump
of shame like
she was
a fucking boss. That's what
exactly.
I did.
Exactly. When Melania Trump was a model, her walking down the runway, that was your walk of shame, devil.
That's how good that you were. That shit out. Yeah. Goddamn
flipped
right.
Her hair and just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, flipped her disheveled hair.
She had that big hair, too.
Mm, oh, she had the big hair. Streaks of makeup, looking like a raccoon.
But you know what?
Just
I owned
it. All of it.
I owned it all.
Goddamn right.
Girls was just as mean to Paul, Brandy. They would often tease him and call him ugly. When Paul sent a love note to one of his young classmates, she read it aloud to the class and called him a beast.
Oh, a beast.
A beast. I don't think it was a compliment.
Mm.
Paul's home life.
Because sometimes beasts can be like, oh, you beast.
Oh, yeah. I've been called a beast before.
Yeah, I bet you have, too.
Paul's home life, Brandy, was not much better.
I can imagine.
This poor guy. His mother beat him for the slightest infractions. She used a belt and would often beat his bare legs until they bled.
Well, what did he kept running his mouth.
See, I feel like we're only hearing one side of the story. We don't really know what he did.
So you think Paul was an asshole and just not?
I mean, it's like when you come home and you're thinking, okay, I ate dinner. Oh, I got Oreos up on the refrigerator.
He was born out of wedlock.
Yeah, little bastard. anyway, it's like when you think you got Oreos and stuff, and then you find out the little sumbitches ate all your Oreos.
So you're thinking this might be well-deserved, is what you're saying.
Well, we don't know. We're only hearing one side of the story, him getting beaten bloody with a belt. But Marie, he might have had it coming.
Brandy, Marie, you're like this. Marie would often dress Paul in her old clothes.
Oh, for Christ's sake, another one of these? Jesus.
Because
God.
She claimed she could not afford to buy him new clothes. This meant Paul was forced to wear women's underwear to school, and a fact that the classmates became aware of and teased him about, Brandy.
How? How did they become aware of it?
Because he was wearing a goddamn dress.
He took a leak. He was wearing bloomers. I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe he bragged about it.
Yeah, he felt pretty.
Pauline.
Come on, we've all slipped on a pair of women's underwear.
In addition to being abusive.
Oh, I know I have.
In addition to being abusive, Brandy, Marie was an alcoholic who left Paul alone where she spent time at the beer halls. In Germany, beer halls are very popular.
Ah.
It is believed that she was also a part-time prostitute, Brandy, and would make Paul sleep outside when she brought a customer home in the evening. So he's sleeping outside in his mama's drawers. It's a lot.
Hit the porch. Bastard, I got a John coming in. You little bastard.
You little shit.
He's not had a good life at this point. Marie made it very clear to Paul that she did not love him or want him in her life. So they're missing some kind of bond there, Brandy,
yeah,
that you normally have with a mother-child. She would often tell him that he was a burden and she would not be able to find a husband as long as he was around.
Well, she's mother of the year.
In 1923, with Germany in the post-World War I depression, Marie's financial situation became even worse, and she put Paul up for adoption.
Probably the best thing that ever happened to him.
In 1924, the now 12-year-old Paul was adopted by Johann Orgesall, a farmer in Haveland, Germany. He eventually took Orgesall's surname name as his own, and he relocated. They relocated with the family near Berlin. So he's adopted now. Now, Johann's primary interest in adopting Paul was to...
He needed help on the farm.
Yeah, was free labor. Mm-hmm. He made it clear to Paul that he would never consider him his real son, but he would provide him food and shelter in exchange for his help around the farm.
Still better than what his mom was doing.
Yeah, he's not making him dress in women's bloomers.
Yeah, or that we know sleep of. Outside.
For the next several years, Paul worked as a laborer on his adopted father's farm. In 1928, when he turned 16, Paul asked his adopted father for a small salary so he could save money to buy an automobile. His father refused and kicked Paul out of the house.
There you go.
Then get out, you little bastard.
Ask him for money. He was okay.
Got greedy.
Got greedy.
Yeah, that's why he got beat with the belt so much.
With no family and friends at this point in his life, Paul found employment at a steel foundry just outside of Berlin. This was the first time Paul ever lived on his own. He rented a small flat he rented a small flat and had a small dog, but besides that, he was completely alone. Paul kept to himself. He did not have any friends, and his co-workers at the foundry thought that he was very odd and did not include him in any of their social outings.
No reindeer games.
So he was the Rudolph.
Reindeer games.
Kind of Rudolph. Around the same time, Paul became interested in politics, Colonel. Mm-hmm. Probably would have listened to Rants and Reasons if you guys have been around then.
He would have listened to this one, but he would have lied about it.
Germany probably.
Even a serial killer is ashamed to admit they listened to our show, Timmy.
He's probably listened to it wearing his mama's bloomers.
Yeah, wearing your mom, little dirty bastard.
Germany was going through a severe economic depression and led to political upheaval throughout the country. Communists and Nazis were fighting to the death in the streets, and the country was on edge and close to civil war.
You know, don't you think we need a good commies and fascists fighting to the death?
I think
that
happened last weekend in Oregon, actually.
Yeah, it did.
Believing the communists were a threat, Paul joined the Nazi Party, of course, Brandy's associates, in 1931 at the age of 18, Brandy. Jeez. Did you see him at any of the meetings?
I did not.
In the following year, he became a member of its paramilitary branch, the SA, the Brown Shirts. The SA was Hitler's paramilitary force, which fought with the communists and anyone else who they did not support him. And after the Nazi seizure of power in 1933, Paul rose modestly in the party ranks. He found his association with the Nazi Party also helped lead to better career opportunities for him, Brandy. So he got some friends now.
Well, that's how the devil got her job here.
Yeah, through the Nazi Party. He's got some friends now, Brandy.
It's through you.
He's got a small dog. Well, he's got some friends. He's got some Nazi friends. And he's wearing his mama bloomers. So what happens next?
You know what? It just did occur to me. I am the one that interviewed you and hired you originally anyway.
No, I think you were... I think you weren't going to hire her, and then I hired her.
No, when she originally started with the original company, I interviewed you and hired you.
We all make mistakes. Well, no, when I came back.
Okay, when you came back, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew better.
Yeah, you did.
Goddamn right, I knew better.
Yeah, that was not one of your better days.
Oh, no. That's one That's of those days.
That's what you get
for
coming to work drunk.
It is. It's like, fuck it, I don't care.
Oh, Brandy is a fine addition.
All right. So in 1934, Paul was hired as a plate layer.
Oh, have you ever been a plate layer, Colonel?
By the National Railroad.
Oh, he's a gandy dancer.
He is. He's a hobo.
Deutsche Reichsbahn.
That's how he got all rapey, being a hobo.
Can you say it better?
Yeah. Okay. I said it was close.
Well, and steadily worked his way up through the organization, eventually working as an assistant signalman.
Ooh. Well, he's not a signalman.
Well, no, this is crazy.
Now, he probably tries to get ladies into bed telling them that he's a singleman.
Oh, well, for sure, yeah.
But he's an assistant singleman at this point.
Right.
He just stands around. I don't know what they do. They hand a flag to the singleman. Colonel, do you know what an assistant singleman does?
Yeah.
A signalman.
It's when the signalman's the
I think he brings real, sandwiches to the signalman.
His arm gets tired because he's waving those flags all day.
Uh-huh.
And his arms get tired. Uh-huh. And then for like 15 minutes, the assistant has to come in.
No, I think he just brings the guy sandwiches.
Yeah, he's a signalman apprentice is what he is to me.
Because when he's actually out there waving the flags, he's a singleman. Right, Brandy?
He's a signal man.
Yeah,
he's a single man?
At that point. Well, he's a single man, too, because he just has a dog. He don't have many friends.
We don't know the relationship between him and the dog.
He's probably not going to have very – he's probably going to stay single if he's wearing his mother's bloomers.
He's still wearing his mom's bloomers.
Do we know that he's still wearing his mom's bloomers?
We're pretty sure he did.
Are you just assuming?
No, he felt pretty when he wore them, so he just kept wearing them.
Do you know he's not?
No. So he's an assistant – signalman,
yes,
at a station in the eastern suburbs of Berlin.
Nice.
The job paid well, and Paul gained a degree of respect for his hard work and skills.
Yes, Colonel.
He
could wave those flags. Flag.
You know what I bet he got? I bet he got some kind of an award at work, Brandy.
He probably did. Chuck's never gotten an award at work.
How long has he been here?
But this guy did. I don't even know. Probably longer than this guy's been a signalman.
Chuck hired you, and you've already received 4 or 5.
I received an award within my first 2 months of being here.
I got one the first year, but I don't think Chuck's got.
No, he's never gotten one.
Well, some things take a little bit of time. To me, it's just I've only been here 13 years now.
Susan Lucci.
Yeah,
that's what he is.
He is like
he's always a bridesmaid. You're the county side piece.
Everybody likes me. They're just ashamed to admit it.
Yeah. The one thing still missing from Paul's life was someone to share it with.
Oh, he wants a woman.
The greatest love of all.
Well, in 1937, Paul met a saleswoman named Gertrude Zingelman.
Vacuum. She was selling vacuums.
Gertie.
Oh, yeah. See, that's not a good. You can't holler out when you're doing the nasty. You can't scream out Gertie.
Yeah. You know? Evidently,
you
can. Dirty Gertie.
Or Trudy. Maybe call her Trudy.
Dirty Gertie. I like
but
that.
But I'm going to call her Gertie.
Okay.
Gertie was 2 years older than Paul.
An older woman. Mm-hmm. Cougar.
Wait a minute. Well, she was 3 months pregnant when she met Paul.
All
right. But he didn't seem to care.
No. Ow. You know what the
right,
fetus
right in
was
the
like?
Hump, Brandy.
Ow,
that's what
quit
they call
it. Right in the hump.
Gertie, who already had one child, who was 6 years old, and she agreed to marry Paul when he proposed.
Well, see, there's a lot of out-of-wedlock birth.
You know what that baby did when it came out to me? It went over to this little bastard and started poking him in the forehead.
Well, they're
I was
both
like,
they're
how's
both
that
little
feel,
bastards.
Motherfucker? How you like that?
Well, I think we have three here because she had another child, right?
Well, no. She had another child, so that's one.
Well,
she was 3 months pregnant.
Do you think if he would ever landed her, though, if he wasn't a single man?
I doubt it. So the marriage was not a happy one.
Have you ever dated a Gandhi dancer? Brandy?
Oh, here we go. Okay. I have not. The marriage was not a happy one as Gertie dated several other men during their marriage.
Oh, Dirty Gertie. That's why she got the name.
You think she got pregnant?
Well,
obviously she's had other relationships.
She would spend her evenings at the beer halls while Paul stayed home and babysat the children.
Sound like a good arrangement.
It is kind of
Gertie.
Yeah.
Gertie made out okay there.
And here, wear my underwear, bitch.
He's got to get up in the morning and signal.
Yeah. He's got shit to do.
In 1938, Paul started experiencing severe migraine headaches.
Yeah, that's Gertie.
Doctors were unable to find the cause of the headaches, and they continued to grow worse. At times, the headaches were so severe, Paul would wake from a deep sleep in terrible pain.
Yeah, I don't like that.
The headaches seemed to change Paul's personality as well. And Gertie.
Why didn't he take Bayer aspirin, since that's in Germany?
I don't know, or some Excedrin or something. Paul and Gertie, or didn't they have, like, can you take cocaine for an...
you could.
Landrum or...
Laudanum?
Laudanum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul and Gertie began to argue a great deal, and he was soon threatening her and the children.
Ah.
He began to have fantasies about raping and killing young women.
Yeah, see, he made a left there.
So he's got a tumor.
Yeah.
His coworkers noticed
it's
the changes.
It's a tumor.
It is a tumor. His coworkers noticed the changes as well. Before the headaches, Paul was always very quiet at work, but now seemed to have a chip on his shoulder, especially when it came to women.
Actually, he has a bump on his head.
He would call all
the tumor on his head.
Yeah.
Not chip on his shoulder.
He would call all the female passengers whores under his breath.
Well, let's face it.
Let's face it. But, I mean, a lot of times you got to – you don't really hear it. A lot of times when you walk in through the – but we'll always hear people are saying that.
No, they're not.
Bitch.
They're not doing that.
Next stop, Brighton. Whore.
Yeah. God. All right. So in September, it was not long before Paul would begin acting out in more violent ways. In September of 1939, Germany invaded Poland. In response to this attack, Great Britain and France declared war on Germany. Germany's cities became targets of allied airstrikes. At the start of the war, the airstrikes occurred only at night. To limit the damage and keep its citizens safe, Germany instituted blackouts, and Berlin citizens were encouraged to find safety in air raid shelters located in every part of the city.
Oh, you know they had sex in those air raid shelters.
Oh, it smelled down there. It was like a fish market, Timmy.
Come fest, Brandy.
While most citizens of Berlin were horrified.
Come a palooza.
Nothing smells worse than come a palooza, Brandy.
Made the trains go faster.
While most citizens of Berlin were horrified at the thought of their city being bombed, for Paul it provided the perfect cover for him to live out his violent fantasies. In October of 1939, Paul embarked on a series of violent attacks.
You know, right before we started bombing Baghdad in 2004, whenever mm-hmm. it was?
Right.
I was watching the news. They were interviewing this guy on the street, this man on the street interviews. And they asked this guy, you know, what was going to happen once the Allies started to attack.
Tucker didn't even know we were at war.
No, he did. He had like a list of like four people he wanted to kill. And he's telling this to the news guy.
Yeah.
So you know a lot of that shit went on.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Jesus. Let's see.
See, so, we need some nighttime bombings here.
It couldn't hurt.
Yeah.
So Paul, in 1939, Paul embarked on a series of violent attacks, randomly sexually assaulting and raping, and that the redundant, but dozens of women in and around a Berlin suburb. At the time, the neighborhood was populated mostly by housewives whose husbands had been called up to serve in World War II. It was these vulnerable women who initially served as Paul's primary source of victims.
Well, now he's getting even for all the shit, you know, happening to where his mom is. Bloomers.
I know. Police would later document 31 separate cases of rape and other sexual assaults that occurred in the area.
And that's before they had a real good database to keep track of.
Yeah. Some.
I think one.
Although the Nazis probably had a pretty good system, though.
That's true.
They kept track of their shit, yeah. During his attacks, Paul would either choke his victims, threaten them with a knife, or bludgeon them with a blunt object. And in their statements, all of the victims.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Mentioned their attacker wore a railway worker's uniform. What a fucking dumbass.
Was he carrying a flag?
No, over
and his name tag.
Over his sleeve is Roy Paul,
his
assistant signalman.
Yeah. What do you have? He had his name tag on. What an idiot.
Well, that throws him off, though.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Paul first began attempting to murder some of his victims during this time. However, his initial attempts were met with little success.
He's a fuck up.
Yeah.
Between October 1939 and July 1940, Paul attacked and stabbed three different women, all of whom recovered and later served as witnesses against him.
Bitches be testifying, Brandy. Yeah, right.
You know, if you're going to stab somebody, they're probably going to testify against you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like that. People don't like that.
It's one of those things that, you know, a lot of crimes are perpetrated against other people, sometimes go unreported.
But that's stabbing, what I like about having him on the podcast. We always learn something, Brandy.
Yeah, I mean, there's crimes, and we all know that there's ugly crimes that people commit, domestic violence type things and things like that, that go underreported. But when stabbings happen, they almost always get reported.
Yeah, people don't like that.
Yeah, because they bleed. They bleed out.
Yeah, it hurts.
In August.
It does, Brandy. You got to admit, Brandy, it does hurt.
You ever been stabbed, though?
I know.
You've never been stabbed?
There's some stabby people on our Facebook page.
There are some stabby people.
You ever been stabbed?
No.
Which is surprising, given his caliber.
I've never been stabbed.
Well, given his...
I'm proud to say.
Given your world travels.
That's what I mean. Timmy's been to like 39 different countries in the last 2 years and never been stabbed.
I'm proud to say, amazing. I've never been stabbed, but I almost was ran over by a scooter.
I know. That's horrifying for you.
It was traumatic.
In August of 1940, he savagely bludgeoned another woman after raping her on board the S-Bahn. So he's not even trying to get... He's wearing his uniform and he's on the S-Bahn...
Oh, yeah, and he's doing all the nasty.
What, with your girly hands? What?
That's my stab wound right there.
Okay.
That's my scar from the stab.
While her husband... Wait a minute. Here we go.
Okay.
He attempted to rape this other woman on the S-Bahn train... in an S-Bahn station where her husband and brother-in-law, whom Paul had failed to notice, rushed to her aid after she screamed for help.
Hold on.
You know, here's how you get out. If you ever get attacked...
You don't shit where you eat. Why are you doing it at work?
If you ever get attacked on the subway or on the bus or something,
yes.
When they're attacking you, just pull that little thing down to ring the bell the next stop. They have to let you go off.
They do. I think it's like it's dibs. It's dibs. Yeah. Pulling the thing is like dibs. Yeah. The train's got to stop.
Next stop.
Yeah. You got to quit being rapey and let the person go.
What a fucking idiot.
So her husband and who comes?
Yeah, so he's at an S-Bahn station, probably wearing his uniform, savagely beating this woman and raping her. She screams. Her husband and brother-in-law come running.
Hey, here's what I want to know.
So his brother, her husband, his brother.
They intervened. Probably. How did some bitch walk away from it?
Paul managed to escape after being severely beaten.
Oh, okay. There we go.
In light of this close call, Paul changed his MO, fashioning it into the approach he later employed with more success against most of his subsequent victims. Wearing his work uniform, Paul lurked aboard empty cars, waiting for potential victims as the train's passenger cars were not illuminated at the time because of the wartime blackout.
So he was
like a werewolf hanging out. Yeah. It's like the Werewolf of London and hanging out.
Nope.
Werewolf London.
Paul relied. Is that what we call it? I call it cat being hit by a lawnmower. Still call it that. Paul relied heavily on the fact that lone female passengers were not suspicious of a uniformed employee of the S-Bahn approaching them and asking them for their ticket.
Well, Brandy, would you be caught off guard if you saw an S-Bahn employee walking down the aisle? You would just think it was naturally that.
Well, not if I was on the train. Right. No, I probably would not.
You probably wouldn't raise an alarm with you.
Could you imagine this poor mama's underwear and some bitch?
He's got bloomers.
The devil walking down the aisle and him jumping out trying to molest and assault her. What? That would be a bad night for him.
I do not like that.
Yeah, you get the wrong lady.
If you've known her for 13 years, you can't even hug her without getting pummeled.
I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't.
Personal space.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of serial killers invade personal space, Brandy.
They do. I think it's rude. Let's see. Once the women were distracted, Paul attacked, strangling or striking the victim in the head with a 2-inch thick piece of lead-encased telephone cable. Sweet Christ. Paul finally committed his first murder on October 4th, 1940, when he stabbed 20-year-old mother of two, another Gerda Ditter.
There's a lot of Gerdas out there.
Whose husband Arthur was away in the military.
You cannot swing a dead cat. A dead German shepherd without hitting a Gerda.
Well, He stabbed her to death in her Berlin home, where they had met for what she believed to be a tryst.
Oh, Colonel, have you ever had a tryst in your life?
A tryst?
Uh-huh.
Is that a cracker?
Yes. Two yeah. months later, Paul claimed his second and third victims when on the evening of December 4th, 1940, he killed passenger Elfriede Frank, crushing her skull with an iron bar before hurling her corpse from the moving train.
Oh.
Less than an hour after he
See,
murdered...
See, now, you're, it's really bad if you're the guy walking down the street when this corpse comes out of the...
Right, comes flying out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hold on. Okay, so hold on. Okay, so less than an hour after he murdered Frank, Paul encountered 19-year-old... her name's... Ermagod.
Ermagod?
Ermagod.
Ermagod.
Ermagod. No way. Ermagod.
Ermagod. Okay, that's a nice German name.
Her name yeah, her name is Ermagard.
Okay.
Oh, that's it. Ermagard.
Ermagard.
Okay. Freeze. I'm sorry.
She probably wore comfortable shoes.
It sounds like one of those protective devices you will buy.
Sounds like
Ermagard.
It sounds like a dominatrix.
It sounds like a valley girl. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
No, just Ermagard. It's like
you know, one over, of those over things. Over in Germany, it's like they're in that BDSM over there, Brandy. I don't know.
They're into it big over there.
Yeah,
every
I don't
German
know, I don't know
it.
If Brandy understands what that means. You might want to tell her.
What?
BDSM.
What? No, shut.
It's
it.
Beating, spanking. What
no,
is
there's
it?
A lot.
Masturbating.
Yeah.
There's a lot happening there. So this poor...
Motherhood.
This poor girl.
That's what the M stands
She's just yeah. minding her business, walking home, and this son of a bitch, he gets her. He just encounters her on the street and then rapes her before also bludgeoning her to death. Poor baby. On September 22nd, 1940...
You know what? Can't you just walk by and say hello?
I guess, man.
What happened to that?
Well, you're walking around with your mama's bloomers. You're probably pretty angry.
And they're probably...
And you're babysitting your girlfriend. Babysitting while your girlfriend's going out whoring
wife.
Around. Wife. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
She's out whoring around.
On December 22nd, 1940...
Got a tumor.
Railroads discovered the body of a fourth victim, Elizabeth Bungener.
Okay. Bungho?
No. Discarded alongside the railroad tracks. A medical examination determined that she died as a result of a fractured skull.
I wonder if she was thrown out of the train as
know.
Well.
6 days later, the police recovered the body of 22-year-old Gertrude, Seawart.
Another Gertrude.
Yeah. On the morning after she'd been assaulted and thrown from the train by Paul. So there's bodies just flying off
He's
this
throwing
train.
People off the train.
And, you know, they're just now getting around to... finding them.
What's your thoughts on this so far, Brandy?
Lots of Gerties.
Lots of flying Gerties.
Lots of them.
Eventually, Timmy, yeah. all dastardly things must come to an end.
Okay.
Now, suffering from exposure and various life-threatening traumas.
This guy should have been called the Gertie Killer.
Seriously.
Sewell was rushed to the hospital where she eventually died from her injuries.
No.
Now, the scene repeated itself on January 5, 1941.
1941, Brandon.
When the unconscious body of Hedwig Ebauer.
Hedwig.
Who was then 5 months pregnant was located near the S-Bahn.
There's no way a woman named Hedwig looks good.
Not often, no.
Well,
no.
not after what happened to her, I'm sure.
Well, Paul had unsuccessfully attempted to strangle her before throwing her from the train alive.
Because you know strangling takes a long time. It's not like you see on TV, Colonel.
It takes a lot of
They pass out pretty quickly, but then, yes, the actual strangulation takes a while. If you use piano wire, it goes faster. But anyway, like Seward, Hedwig Ebauer had succumbed to an injury later in the day.
Brandy.
She never regained consciousness. The remains of his seventh victim, Joanna Voigt, another pregnant mother of three, see, he had a thing about pregnant women,
lacked right in the
was found. An autopsy confirmed what most suspected. She died as a result of repeated blows to the head and injuries sustained after being thrown. See, this is where that movie,
Throw
Mama from
the train.
That's where they got this idea
Gerda
from.
Throw
Gerda from the train. Now, given the obvious similarities in the various
this
crimes,
is sad.
To me,
yeah, and he's using these people are scared to death anyway because they're getting bombed, yeah.
right?
You know,
and he's
the
using
people,
that
after
as advantage.
What appears yeah. to be what we've read like 35 victims, Germany had realized they had a serial killer loose in
this
Berlin.
This fucker's claiming more victims in the war.
Yeah,
he's killed more people than yeah. fucking the Nazis are. He's killed more people than the SS.
Jesus,
they're
Christ.
They're like bringing him in to like do in-house training.
Do in-house training, yeah,
in service. You got Himmler taking notes there in the back.
Just pitch him from the train. So anyway, two of his previous victims who had survived being raped and thrown from the S-Bahn, that's pretty goddamn impressive right there.
It's all how you land,
after
Colonel.
Being thrown from the train.
It's all how you land.
It is?
Yeah.
Timmy's been thrown from many a train.
I won't say jumped. It's more jumped than thrown. But it's how you land.
Like a James Bond thing where you run on top of the train and jump off.
You put your hand down. You're going to try to land feet first if you can. But you got to give a
no,
little
you
bit.
Don't.
You got to give a little bit, because if you don't, you break your legs.
Break a hip.
But don't land on your head. That's not good, Brandy.
Well, you can live through it. Now, all this domestic news coverage at the time was either controlled or
heavily
censored.
You can live
through
it, but in the rest of your life, you're slobbering.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you are. Now, this was the type of true news items. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
that
probably,
might damage the wartime morale. So the Ministry of Public
Enlightenment might be damaging to morale.
Might be.
The Ministry of Public Enlightenment and Propaganda, under Joseph Goebbels.
There it is.
Brandy's good friend.
The great uncle. Mm-hmm. Even issued a directive to German journalists saying, "Ixnay on the murder A."
Yeah, come on, knock shit out.
Nine. Now this. The censorship not only interfered with this investigation, but it made police impossible to warn potential victims.
Yeah, so they're not telling anyone. They're going to kind of keep it under wraps. Brandy.
But they put a police operation underway.
It's hard to do
underway.
When people keep seeing people fly from the train.
Right.
You're not really seeing that.
They were doing Jedi mind tricks on people.
Yeah.
It's like, no, she jumped. Yeah. Oh, another jumper. So anyway... the police operation was underway, and they interviewed 5,000 of Berlin's 8,000 railway workers, and they doubled patrols. The Nazi Party dispatched some of its functionaries to personally protect unaccompanied women who commuted through the area. Police officers disguised as females, and back then when they had the little Hitler mustaches, it was kind of a dead giveaway that they weren't females.
Yeah.
And female detectives. Motherfucker, they really did take men and disguise them as females and then use female detectives.
So they put the cops in drag?
They did.
And had them ride the train?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Well, that's a smart move.
All right.
Oh, you know those guys liked it. But anyway.
They were wearing their mother's bloomers as well.
They were used as bait aboard second-class carriages. And anyway, other detectives, they got disguised as railway workers, Timmy. And at each station, each commuter was watched. Even Paul Orgesvall volunteered for a job of escorting solitary women during the night hours.
See, I would not want him as my escort, Brandy.
I would not.
No, that would not. That
Despite
would be bad.
Despite this effort, they didn't catch more than a handful of petty criminals. Now, however, the increased police attention did prompt Paul to become cautiously inactive for nearly 5 months following the murder.
Cautiously inactive, Brandy.
He didn't do anything till July 3rd, 1941. He was getting ready to celebrate July 4th, Independence Day.
Yes, Brandy.
I don't know if they do that in Germany.
I don't believe they do.
He claimed his eighth and final victim, 30-year-old Frieda, whatever.
Frieda.
Crazy
German
last name. Kozul. He raped her, bludgeoned her, and tried to throw her from the train. But he did.
You think he has anger issues, Brandy?
Maybe some, especially to women and pregnant women named Gertie.
Now, around this time, his coworkers began to suspect it was him. He made, and see, I do not approve of this.
Okay.
He would often make Mr. John.
Make what?
Very anti-woman statements. Misogynistic statements,
okay.
Devil.
Brandy, we would Chuck and I oppose to those sorts of statements.
We do.
Statements.
As Lyndon B. Johnson once said, Timmy.
I love women.
He did say, I firmly believe in one policy.
What's that?
Women.
Uh-huh.
He said that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He called his Johnson a jumbo.
Jumbo.
Brandy.
That we, you know.
Yes, I'm aware.
Timmy, on the Rants page, Karen has such a fascination with this.
Uh-huh.
We're going to do Johnson Wednesday every Wednesday. This guy was crazy. Do you know he had a bell installed, a buzzer installed, because he was humping his secretary.
Oh, yeah. In case Lady Bird came up.
In case Lady Bird came up, he had a buzzer installed.
Well, first of all, you never should be married to someone named Lady Bird, Brandy.
Well, that's a stupid name.
Yeah.
He also had a shower. Is it another true story about him?
Mm-hmm.
When they were talking about the bombing of Hanoi, off the record with reporters, they asked him why he bombed Hanoi. He literally whipped out his dick and set it on the table and said, that's why.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Sounds accurate.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's what I'm going to start doing in meetings around here.
Nope. No. Yeah. I'm
why did you do that? I'm just going
to. I'm a fir- I'm not.
Whip it out.
Nope.
Drop it on the table. That's nope. Why, goddammit.
I'm against that in that's all why. Forms.
Well, anyway, police
inspect. I think HR would have a problem with that, Brandy.
Yeah, at the very least.
It's kind of, they got liberal policies around here.
Well, but it'll give me an excuse to carry around my fabric scissors.
Good point.
So go ahead.
Anyway.
He'll be police wearing his mother's bloomers before you know it.
His coworkers began to suspect him. He made these very nasty statements to coworkers and talked often. He was making these misogynistic statements, and his coworkers.
So he's anti-woman, basically.
It appears from his action. It appears from words, deeds, and actions, Timmy, that he was anti-woman.
Yeah, we're pro-women, Chuck and I.
We are pro-women.
We like breasts.
And you are especially in favor of pro women.
Yeah. I like pro women, Brandy.
Yeah.
I know you do.
There's nothing wrong with professional women.
A coworker reported to police that Paul often climbed over the fence at a railway depot during work. Paul just said he sneaked out to meet a mistress whose husband was in the army. That's a seedy little thing to
that's
do.
That's not. That, I mean, that I wouldn't use that as an excuse. You're at time of war, and your excuse is you're banging
the sergeant. Yeah,
his wife.
Banging the sergeant's wife. Police inspected his railway uniforms, and all of them had numerous blood stains.
But they had semen on them too, Brandy.
And an intimidating interrogation set in a small room under the light of a single light bulb. Paul was confronted with one of his severely injured victims and a tray with the skulls taken from several of his other victims.
Yeah,
you did this, Paul. Admit it. Nine.
I've never seen those skulls before.
No, wasn't me.
I wouldn't know their skulls.
Don't look at me.
Wasn't me.
Those skulls could be anybody.
Paul confessed.
Fuck it, you got me.
Yet he blamed the murder spree on alcoholism and claimed that a Jewish doctor.
Yep.
Had treated him,
and that'll do it.
Play the old Jew card.
Play the Jew card. Had treated him incompetently for gonorrhea.
Really?
He had the gonorrhea.
Of course he had the gonorrhea.
He had the clap, Brandy.
He pled guilty to 8 murders, 6 attempted murders, and 31 cases of sexual assault, including the rapes. He was sentenced to death.
Da-da-da.
Yeah.
Death, Brandy.
The final charges against him were just criminal violence. He was declared an enemy of the people by the Nazi regime and executed by guillotine.
The motherfucker was thrown out of the Nazi party, Brandy.
Why didn't they toss him off? What do you have to do for that?
These people killed 6-7 million people.
And they tossed this sumbitch out.
We don't know him. We don't know this guy.
This guy ain't part of our group. No.
Never seen him before.
He in no way represents the Nazi party. His views and actions in no way represent the Nazi party.
So he got the guillotine.
So they lopped his head right off. They should have thrown him from the train. Mm-hmm. A bunch of times. They should have thrown him from a slow-moving train like 10 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
They should have tied his hands behind his back
and
then just kept throwing him from the train.
That's Colonel Klink's justice.
Yeah, Colonel Klink justice. They should have just...
So you were on the same level as Klink, Colonel Klink. You guys are peers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got a monocle. You've seen it.
Yeah. Brandy, your thoughts on the Colonel having a monocle?
I'd like to see you wear it, I think.
Brandy, your final thoughts on the Espan killer?
He's a dick.
Yeah.
What an asswipe.
Okay. Colonel, your final thoughts on this story?
Well, I think you got to be pretty fucked up for the Nazis to say you are not moral enough to be in our group.
You got kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
Brandy, did you like this story? Is it something you would tell Noah at bedtime?
No, I will not. Although he would enjoy it a great deal. I will not be telling him that.
Are you ready for DweebCon coming up the first weekend of October?
I'm excited. I still need to book my room, but yeah, okay. I'm pumped. I'm ready.
Okay, well, you live here in Cincinnati. I just want to make sure you know that, so you may not need a room.
I'm fully aware of where I live, although I live, you know, about, you know, 30 miles north.
So you're going to stay downtown.
So I'm going to stay downtown, okay. Because...
And you're going to be mingle with the people.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just worrying.
I don't want to mingle with myself.
I just don't want people to touch me, Brandy. I worry about that.
I know you do. Rest assured,
and I hope
nobody
none of those
will touch you.
I hope none of those motherfuckers are riding scooters, because I'm not going to be happy if that's the case.
I know. Scooters are scary.
Colonel, are you ready for DweebCon 2018?
I am quite ready for DweebCon, Jimmy.
We are rehearsing our pips. We're going to have a live show. And
woo.
Okay,
stop it.
We're gonna have a live show, and
we got two
Jason
mustard gray polyester three-piece suits,
yes,
coming in today.
Yes, and they're sharp, Brandy.
Oh, and they're tight in the crotch, Timmy.
And we've got some platform
crotch
shoes.
God damn right we do.
I bought some elevator shoes and they went down, Brandy.
Me and Timmy might just go get the big hair before.
Oh, we'll get afros.
Yeah.
Let's get
afros. We would. Yeah.
We're gonna have afros, Brandy. Your
thoughts
on that?
I'm all in for that.
All right, that's at DweebCon. Jason Dykes, of course, is working on the script for us, and people are coming from far and near, Brandy, to spend time with us. And I just hope no one talks to me or touches me.
I bet we can arrange it.
Well, let's thank our Patreons. We really do appreciate it.
Yes. Let's thank our Patreon supporters. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot,
or just a wee little bit, Timmy.
Okay, Colonel, hit it. How you like that, Brandy?
Here's our Patreon supporters: Jim Seabright, Andrew Scammell, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Stratford, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Svoboda, Per Westman, Maggie Glover, Gracie's mom, Erica Kinney, Hyro, the Comeback Pirate, Comeback Pirates, Comeback Podcast.
And maybe the Comeback Pirates, too.
Yeah.
Maybe they gave something.
Miss K-Bar, Reen, Marissa Albanese, Bridget Clavey, Phyllis Munson, Jennifer Riker-Smith, Stephen Potts, I love Stephen, Anna Garrett, Ben Dobrovich, Ursula, Clark and Diane, Trowbridge, World Travelers, Beth Ann Wallen, Michelle Johns, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Jess, Leanne Flanagan, Julia Rodriguez, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Tyrone, Marsha Boris, Stacey Alsop, Judy and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, They Walk Among Us, Lorna Violet, Michael Dale, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener, Timmy?
Yes, lovely Karen Widener.
The lovely Callie Jones, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Pleasing Terrors with Mike Brown, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Kimberly Cameron, Elise Edrington, History Goes Bump, Andrew, Amber Trevino, Annette Petray, Lise, Lahara, Lopez, Alicia and Chip Mincy, Marquia Smith, Jeff and Don Chestnut with Backroads to History and Poetry by Jeff, Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Melissa Montoya, Maja, Shelley Garrett.
Yes, of the Rants and Reason podcast.
Yes, my other co-host, Carol Elise, Christy Malachinsky, Adam McWaters, the Rants and Reason podcast.
Very good podcast.
On there twice.
Yes.
Paula Kimes, The Vantage Podcast, Canadian True Crime Podcast with Christy Lee, who has the most perfect teeth in podcasting.
Yes.
Charlie from Insight, Angela Santos, Lydia Wasson Fisher, Kim Stroop, Nicole Adams, Ron Monastero, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Cheryl LeBlanc Weldon, Lady Beverly, of course, Timmy.
The lovely Lady Beverly.
Yes. Veronica Moreno is a new one. We appreciate that. Chris Lane is a new one. Alexandra, Elaine Baker, Vivian Vaca, of course, Rudy, the world's most dangerous canine.
The Wonder Dog.
Lady Beverly.
Yeah, twice.
And this one we hope made you happy, Miss Dottie, because there were lots of people being thrown from the train. She, you know, she likes a big body count.
Yeah, she does like a large body count. So,
thank you, Mom. Lady, we do it all for Dottie Scott.
All right. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone. Day. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.